Lightened with His Glory. Appendix B. Selected LNG. White 1888 Materials. Volume 2. Elder Jones presented the Bible evidence of justification by faith. I attended the 8 o'clock meeting in the side room of the tabernacle, conducted by Elder Jones. There were a large number present, and he presented the subject of justification by faith in a plain, distinct manner, in such marked simplicity that no one need to be in darkness, unless he has in him a decided heart of unbelief, to resist the workings of the Spirit of God. I fear many will go away from this meeting greatly in need of the very blessings that it is their privilege to receive, just now and notwithstanding the most precious light given upon the importance of thorough sanctification through the truth. Judgment must not be passed hastily on any man. Some stand criticizing and passing judgment both upon the message and the messenger sent of God. Those who will not accept the message the Lord sends will soon begin a tirade against it. They see evidence enough to balance the mind in the right direction, but they are too proud to submit. They are not willing to say that which they decided was all wrong is right. The light which God is giving to His people may be slighted, refused, rejected, but it is thus treated at great peril to men's souls. Brethren, God is working for us, and I feel deeply in earnest that not one ray of heaven-sent light may be regarded with indifference. God's communication to man is to be appreciated and cherished. If we do not appreciate the light of heaven, it will be our condemnation. Our position will be similar to that of the Jews when they rejected the Lord of life and glory. I heard the jesting, the sarcastic remarks in regard to the messengers and the message that doctrine that differed from their ideas of truth, and I was told there was a witness in every room as surely as the witness was in Belshazzar's palace at that festival. Why do you pursue the course you do in keeping away from meetings where points of truth are investigated? If you have a position, present it in clear lines. If you have truth, tell it. If your brethren have truth, be humble and honest before God and say it is truth. If the ideas presented before the ministerial institute are erroneous, come to the front like men and present candidly your Bible evidence why you cannot see the point as they do. This is your duty. Do not stand in the position you do as leaders in the Sabbath school and resisting the light or views and ideas presented by men whom I know to be agents whom the Lord is using. You, sick, making of none effect as far as you can their words and not coming yourself to the light like Christians come to the Word to investigate it together with humble hearts, not to investigate the Bible to bring it to your ideas, but bring your ideas to the Bible. It is your duty to do this. Come and learn just the ideas advanced. I know there have been efforts of contrary influence to throw back the light which God has been forcing in here upon us in regard to the righteousness of Christ. But if God has ever spoken by me, it is the truth, brethren. You can close the door of your heart that the light which God has sent you for the last year and a half or nearly that shall not have its influence and its effect upon your life, nor be brought into your religious experience. This is what God sends His messengers for. Our young men look at the older men that stand still as a stick and will not move to accept any new light that is brought in, that they will laugh and ridicule what these men say and what they do as of no consequence. Who carries the burden of that laugh and of that contempt, I ask you? Who carries it? It is the very ones that have interposed themselves between the light that God has given, and it shall not go to the people who should have it. If you have interposed between the people and the light, get out of the way, or God will move you out of the way. That I might stand side by side with the messengers of God that I knew were His messengers, that I knew had a message for His people. I gave my message with them right in harmony with the very message they were bearing. I have traveled from place to place, attending meetings where the message of the righteousness of Christ was preached. I considered it a privilege to stand by the side of my brethren, Jones and Wagoner. I saw that the power of God attended the message. God has set His hand to do this work. Everywhere the message led to the confession of sin and to the putting away of iniquity. How long will those at the head of the work keep themselves aloof from the message of God? Suppose you blot out the testimony that has been going during these last 2 years, 1890, proclaiming the righteousness of Christ, who can you point to as bringing out special light for the people? This message as it has been presented should go to every church. The heavenly credentials. We have light pouring in on us. And for months we have been pleading that the people would come up and accept the light, and they do not know whether to do it or not. I believe without a doubt that God has given precious truth at the right time to Brother Jones and Brother Wagoner. Do I place them as infallible? Do I say that they will not make a statement or have an idea that cannot be questioned or that cannot be an error? Do I say so? No, I do not say any such thing. Nor do I say that of any man in the world. But I do say God has sent light, and do be careful how you treat it. We claim God has given us light in the right time, and now we should receive the truth of God, receive it as of heavenly origin. Do not turn away from the messages that God sends, as you did at Minneapolis. We have not a doubt but that the Lord was with Elder Wagoner as he spoke yesterday. We have not a doubt of that. I have not a doubt that the power of God in rich measure was hanging over us, and everything was light in the Lord to me yesterday afternoon in the minister's meeting. If we place ourselves in a position that we will not recognize the light God sends or his messages to us, then we are in danger of sinning against the Holy Ghost. Then for us to turn and see if we can find some little thing that is done that we can hang some of our doubts upon and begin to question. The question is, has God sent the truth? Has God raised up these men to proclaim the truth? I say, yes, God has sent men to bring us the truth that we should not have had unless God had sent somebody to bring it to us. God has let me have a light of what his Spirit is, and therefore I accept it, and I no more dare to lift my hand against these persons, because it would be against Jesus Christ, who is to be recognized in his messengers. Now I want you to be careful, every one of you, what position you take, whether you enshroud yourselves in the clouds of unbelief because you see imperfections. You see a word or a little item, perhaps, that may take place, and judge them from that. I am glad, yes, I am so thankful that some are beginning to see that there is light for us. God has shown me that he raised up men here to carry the truth to his people, and that this is the truth. Yesterday, J. Wagoner gave a most powerful discourse. I have heard from many who were present, and their testimony was unanimous that God spoke through him. Elder Wagoner spoke very humbly. Wagoner spoke well. I sent word for Brother Dan Jones, General Conference Secretary, to invite Elder Wagoner to speak. There seemed to be a little reluctance, but finally he was invited and gave a most precious discourse on the message to the Laodicean church, just what was needed. I say it is from beneath and not in harmony with the Spirit of God, or with the message he has given his servants to bear at the present time. Every such mind that is susceptible to unbelief and the say-so of this one, and that works against the light and the evidences that have been presented since the Minneapolis meeting, I tell you, brethren, I am terribly afraid that they will fall at last. When God manifests his power as he has manifested it, it is very nigh unto the sin of the Holy Ghost to disbelieve it. God has shown me that he raised up men here to carry the truth to his people. Brother Jones talked very plainly, yet tenderly in regard to their crediting hearsay and not, in brotherly love, taking the matter to the one talked about and asking him if the report were true. God has raised up his messengers to do his work for this time. Some have turned from the message of the righteousness of Christ to criticize the men and their imperfections, because they do not speak the message of truth with all the grace and polish desirable. They have too much zeal, are too much in earnest, speak with too much positiveness. Christ has registered all the hard, proud, sneering speeches spoken against his servants as against himself. The light which will lighten the earth with its glory will be called a false light by those who refuse to walk in its advancing glory. Messages bearing the divine credentials have been sent to God's people, set forth among us with beauty and loveliness, to charm all whose hearts were not closed with prejudice. If Underwood is still in his opposition state, at war and feelings against A. T. Jones and E. J. Wagoner, keep him east. The result of this opposition has required the delivery of this matter the more earnestly and decidedly, causing deeper searching into the subject and calling out an array of arguments that the messenger himself did not know was so firm, so full, so thorough upon this subject of justification by faith and the righteousness of Christ as our only hope. The men who ought to have stood in the light, their voices heard on the right side of the question, were exercised on the wrong side to oppose that which was of God and resist that message which the Lord sends. Elders Millers both presented your case as evidence that they should resist the Spirit of God, the message, and the messenger. Bro, Rupert has a work of confession to do. You responded to my letter of appeal by writing me a letter accusing Elder Jones of tearing up the pillars of our faith. Was this truth? Christ knocked for entrance, but no room was made for him, and the light of his glory, so nigh, was withdrawn. The God of Israel Israel has opened the windows of heaven and sent to the world rich floods of light, but that light has been rejected. What sign showest thou? Same words spoken to me since the Minneapolis meeting. Now I feel no inclination to converse with the men who occupy responsible positions. I have more freedom speaking to unbelievers than to those who hold responsible positions, and who have had so great light. Since the General Conference of 1888, Satan has been working with special power through unconsecrated elements to weaken the confidence of God's people in the voice that has been appealing to them for these many years. Much precious light was brought out at this meeting, Minneapolis, 1888. I have heard many testimonies in all parts of the field. I found light, precious light. My Bible is a new book. There will be those who will resist the light and crowd down those whom God has made his channels to communicate light. The watchmen have not kept pace with the opening providence of God, and the real heaven-sent message and messengers are scorned. Those who do not in this place yield to the evidence God has given will war against their brethren whom God is using. The enemy took possession of minds and their judgment was worthless. Their decisions were evil, for they did not have the mind of Christ. They were doing continual injustice to the persons they talked about, and they had a demoralizing effect upon the conference. The Lord has men of opportunity through whom he is working. From this meeting there will be decided changes in our churches. There is a faith professed, but a decided want of that faith that works by love and purifies the soul. I am warned again and again of what will be the result of this warfare you have persistently maintained against the truth. When you stated that you had not had feelings against E.L.D. Wagoner and E.L.D. A.T. Jones, I was surprised. Perhaps you thought thus, but how could you think thus, is a mystery to me. The feelings cherished by yourself and Elder Butler were not only despising the message, but the messengers. But the blindness of mind has come by warring against the light which the Lord designed to come to his people. Elder Prescott then confessed that at the Minneapolis meeting, and since that time, he had not had altogether right feelings. He asked the forgiveness of all, and especially of Brethren Wagoner and Jones. Brother Jones, I think, was not present. He then took the arm of Brother Smith, and both went forward. Brother Smith thus made a start, but although Brother Prescott opened the way, he did not improve the opportunity. All he said was, "The matter comes home to me. It means me. Oh, how I yearned in spirit for the men who, by resistance of light which God has given, have for the past 2 years hedged up the way that the Spirit of God shall not find access to their hearts. I heard a voice say to them, 'You still are unbelieving. Stand aside or close up the ranks by coming into line and uniting in the work wholeheartedly.' I spoke from John, chapter 15. Elder E. J. Wagoner followed, speaking on baptism. E. J. Wagoner administered the sacred ordinance to 9 willing souls who felt that it was their duty to be baptized, and they were received into the church. In their boarding places in Minneapolis, at the General Conference, Elder Smith and Brother Rupert made light of the truth and of those who advocated the truth. Elder Wagoner called and was very urgent that I should speak again to the ministerial class. There is increased light for us. When I see my brethren stirred with anger against God's messages and messengers, I think of similar scenes in the life of Christ and the Reformers, treating the light sent them in the very same way that the Jews treated the light Christ brought them. To ignore the Spirit of God, to charge it with being the spirit of the devil, placed the Jews in a position where God had no power to reach their hearts. Some in Battle Creek will surely reach this point if they do not change their course. They are following in the path of guilt for which there can be no forgiveness, in this life or in the life to come. In this our day men have placed themselves where they are wholly unable to fulfill the conditions of repentance and confession. Therefore they cannot find mercy and pardon. The Lord has been calling his people, but the message and the messengers have not been received but despised. In rejecting the messages given at Minneapolis, men committed sin. They have committed far greater sin by retaining for years the same hatred against God's messengers, by rejecting the truth that the Holy Spirit has been urging home.